Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Hello again, and welcome to another Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports, 1140. Frank LaRosa. I will help to guide you through this hour along with my buddy Scott Marsh, co-host of the show. Scott, we've had an interesting couple of days, having spent G-Man and I spent some time up at Montreux Golf and Country Club with the site of the Barracuda Championship coming up, and then you were a special guest to come up to the Northern California PGA semi-annual meeting at the Silver Legacy, and got to watch G-Man and I on stage as we kind of went through a little bit of our pitter-patter, and then we did the Hall of Fame event. So it's been a busy week so far already.
Oh, it's been a great week, and that event was fantastic on Sunday night with the Hall of Fame inductees. But obviously the highlight of the night was you and G-Man owning the stage and entertaining the crowd. That was fun on Sunday night as well. And of course, we can't forget the cherry on top of everything with playing Old Greenwood, host of the Barracuda tournament on Monday. That was spectacular.
You know, our first guest, Travis Alley, the director of golf up there, will be on the show pretty soon. But you know, for us to be able to tee it up on Monday on the way back from Reno was really a treat. Old Greenwood is a Jack Nicklaus signature course, and that's a little distinction between the regular courses that that his company will design, but a signature course kind of is the ones up at the top, the ones he had a great hand in doing, and it's a beautiful piece of mountain property and a beautiful golf course set in there as well.
It's a spectacular course, as you would imagine with the Nicklaus course. It's challenging, undulating greens, and certainly presents some challenges for any golfer, but when it's put in PGA conditions like we experience as they're getting ready for that Barracuda tournament in mid-July, the rough was another set of circumstances to deal with.
You know, the rough when you think about the kind of rough the tour pros are playing, and certainly, you know, what we had on the day we played was pretty close to that, because they're still continuing to grow it out, but it really gives you a higher appreciation for what they're able to do with a golf club in terms of moving golf balls out of stuff like that and getting it on the green.
No question. That's the difference. I mean, the major difference between a great golfer and just a very good golfer, their ability around the green and to work through 3 inches of rough and to get balls close to the hole. I mean, it's a different level. And when you hear commentators and you're watching golf on TV and they say it's imperative to stay in the fairway, you have a new appreciation of that after playing around that's set up in PGA conditions like we did.
No question. And boy, when we got in the fairways, boy, I mean, you talk about some incredible conditioning. There's cart path only right now leading up to the golf tournament, but you can understand why. Incredible fairways. I mean, the lies in the fairways were just sitting up so nicely. If you hit a bad shot, it had nothing to do with the course. It was all our fault, huh?
Yeah, no question. The great thing about it, Old Greenwood is a public course that anybody can go up and play. And of course, we'll hear more from Travis on how to do that. They're affiliated with Gray's Crossing, great deal to play both courses. And then information about the tournament, which will be so much fun to watch these pros play that course July 14th through the 17th.
With the stable for scoring system as well. So it kind of creates a let's go for broke and have a good time here. We will quit talking here. We will take a short break, couple of messages, and we will come right back with
Frank. Let's also set up really quick, because it's a big month in July for golf. We've got the American Century Championship tournament coming up the week of the 6th through the 10th. So it's a huge month for golf just in the area. And we've got the press conference that we were attending earlier in the week. Derek Carr, John Smoltz, Mike Vrabel, head coach in the NFL, they all attended. They're all playing in the event. And we're gonna share some excerpts from that press conference also.
We have a packed hour as always, so we will get to it right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa along with Scott Marsh. And Scott and I just came back from a couple of days up in Reno. I had the opportunity to emcee the Hall of Fame portion for the Northern California PGA. And that was fun at the Silver Legacy. And Gary Gerald and Scott and I kind of sandwiched that with some golf at Montreux. And we finished up yesterday with a beautiful day at Old Greenwood. And we'll talk about our round. We'll talk about how well Scott played. But mostly we want to give Travis Alley a chance to talk. Travis is the director of golf for Tahoe Mountain Properties, which includes not only Old Greenwood, but Gray's Crossing as well, and certainly the Golf Academy at Old Greenwood. Travis, welcome to the show.
Frank and Scott, thanks so much for having me. Pleasure being here.
Well, you know, if you have half as much fun as we had yesterday, you know, this would be good. Thank you again for your hospitality. We teed it up yesterday right after noon. You're on cart path only right now as you get ready for the Barracuda Championship coming in, but the conditioning of the golf course was just remarkable. The fairways, the greens, everything just not only plays well, but it looks so pristine as well. Congratulations there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Our superintendent, Jason DeHerrera, does a phenomenal job. And, you know, going to the cart path only certainly helps those conditions. And, you know, with that being said, we should peak just right around the tournament time. I mean, I'd say, you know, things are greening up. Everything's kind of coming into play. Perfect. Rough is thicker than ever. Greens are rolling. So it's going to be a great event.
Yeah, we could tell you a little bit about that rough. We had a little bit of trouble in there.
Yeah, on the other hand, enough, we actually last year going into the event, we actually grew it up a little too thick. We actually cut it right before the tournament, which was kind of surprising to a lot of people. But the rough's just so thick, even, you know, playing at, you know, 2.5-3 inches is it feels like six. You know, it's really hard to get your club through that stuff.
I do have to say, though, on I think it was 11, Scott, you were in deep rough. You could hardly see your ball. I've never seen you swing that hard. And you were looking at birdie on that. That
was that little short par four where I, you know, I laid up with a 7-iron just to put it in the fairway. And of course I found the rough to the left. And after getting my magnifying glass out, I found my ball in the rough on the left-hand side. And I literally just swung as hard as I could, took a wedge and got it to within about 10 feet. That was my favorite shot of the day by far, Travis.
Scott, I mean, it's a Stableford format out there. I can't believe you guys didn't play Stableford yesterday and you should have went for 11.
Come on. Oh, no, I was thinking about taking out driver, but the water intimidated me. I should have done that though. Next time.
Yeah. The first year of the tournament, that was, you know, the staff wise, we're just kind of talking and it's like, you know, what are these guys going to do on 11 and how's that going to be played? And I was actually shocked with how many guys hitting driver or three were there and getting it close. And really boils down just where the pin is. You know, when the pin's back, it does make a lot of sense to hit it and play aggressively. And again, it's Stableford. So, you know, the risk reward component, which is very predominant at a Nicklaus course, and especially at Old Greenwood, is shown there on 11. And again, I would say 3/4 of the field hit driver the first day. The pin was all the way back. Day two with the pin up front a lot less, but still a lot more activity with the big stick than I would have thought on 11.
You know, a lot of people have heard the term Stableford and they may think they have an idea of what that means. Why don't you just do a quick description of that, Travis?
Yeah. So Stableford is it's the only tour event in the schedule that is played this way. And it's basically a point allocation based on your score. So instead of just posting, you know, a birdie or a bogey, you actually get points for birdies and bogeys. On the tour, par is even, but the idea is to get the most points possible. So points are awarded for birdies, eagles, Alcatrazes, all that kind of stuff. So pretty interesting format. And it really kind of puts the pressure on the player to play aggressively. If you're not picking up strokes in the field, meaning going into a positive number, you know, making par is really losing you against the field. Last year, Eric Van Rooyen shot the tournament record plus 50. Again, it just, you know, all those kind of risk reward holes, it really makes you play it aggressively because you're rewarded more for a birdie than the penalty for a bogey.
That is a remarkable number, plus 50.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a good race. I mean, it was a great back nine. I mean, Van Rooyen played perfectly and Adam Shank was playing probably maybe even better, had an unfortunate circumstance on 12 and kind of fell off a little bit, but Van Ryan came into 18 and he actually, I mean, unreal. He hit the snap hook that, I mean, we're all fearful of every day. Hits this tree and just ricochets right back in the middle of the fairway. Ended up getting it up and down from there and made birdie. So that's how he got more points on 18 and actually finished plus 50. But man, it could have went the other way really fast. And, you know, and just a bounce that kind of like defined his career. I mean, he won $4 million in the last month on tour after that. And, wow. You know, the guy is just, he's just kind of continuing to roll now. And that's just golf for you in a nutshell. I mean, it's, you know, lucky break can change your life.
You know, we were standing on the 18th tee. We took a couple of photos and looking at that yardage. I mean, it's I wouldn't say straight uphill, but it's a pretty good climb, especially, you know, the second half of that fairway. What distance are they playing it at that he was putting for birdie?
He had a pretty rough drive on 18. He ended up having like 220 in, which, you know, I wouldn't say unheard of, but that's not what he would have played from the prior 3 days. You know, if a player hits a good drive there, I want to say 18's 460-ish, you know, but it's all carry. You know, average players coming in probably 140-ish, you know, to a green that's also a second shot, just kind of straight uphill, protected by bunkers, you know, severely in the front and pretty nastily in the back as well. So tough tee ball, but the second shot's not a breeze either.
Not at all. And those bunkers in the front are not gimmies.
Yeah. So that green complex is the exact same one as Muirfield. So that's a duplicate of Muirfield Village, which, you know, Nicholas kind of says is his favorite. So yeah, next time you watch that event, check it out, but very similar. You know, our pot bunkers in the front are maybe a touch different than they have, but you know, green undulation and surrounds are nearly identical.
You know, we were talking earlier. I didn't realize you had been there, you know, basically from the beginning. You've been there 16 years. That's quite a record at that golf course. How have you, what kind of changes have you seen and what impresses you the most about Old Greenwood over the years?
I mean, I think when I showed up here in, let's call it 07, I mean, I felt like the first round I played, I walked off saying, hey, we could have a tour event here. I mean, this course is something special. You know, changes, I'd say that's kind of the beauty of the place, is it's kind of just as we had it laid by Nicholas back, you know, in 04. You know, I think every year we kind of take a baby step forward and here we are, you know, hosting a tour event is definitely a feather in your cap, and we're certainly proud to have the guys here.
Speaking of Nicholas, you know, he, as we talked about, he and his son, Jackie, did an exhibition, and it was really fun to be there that day. Not only that, but to see everybody that was there, everybody that was following him, you know, basically it was one group on the golf course and this huge gallery following the two of them around. And, but it was still intimate enough that you could hear them talking and he was talking to the crowd, and it really made for an incredible introduction to the golf course. And I think that, that Jack had just had some hip surgery. So he kind of embarrassedly posted a 73, which I thought was pretty remarkable. What a great day that was, though.
I actually have the scorecard right here. It's yeah, what a beautiful day. We have a lot of photos around the golf shop of that day, and certainly lucky to have Mr. Nicholas here, and I mean, arguably the best player in the world ever. You know, you kind of mentioned on, you know, how things changed over the years, and you know, in that inaugural round, Nicholas hit a 5-wood on number 12 up and over the tree, hit a high cut and made eagle on 12. Last year in the tour event, most guys are hitting somewhere, you know, driver and a short iron. You know, they're hitting driver 8-9 pitching wedge into 12. So, you know, as far as things changing, that's a prime example. Actually talking about putting in another tee on 12 that kind of brings that right-hand bunker into play a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, Nicholas, again, like you mentioned, maybe not in prime shape when he played, but things have definitely changed over the years.
You've got some other, you know, pretty sophisticated, highly ranked professionals that go there and practice a lot. I guess Annika was just there a couple of days ago, and I remember interviewing her there because she lives up there at least during the summer, if nothing else. But I know she uses your courses to practice a lot.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure having the best male golfer ever design your facility and the best woman player of all time play it. Yeah, Annika is here quite often, and she's such a treat to have around. Her whole family's great. You know, her two kids have been on our PGA Junior League teams before, and You know, I can't say enough about either one of them. It's great to rub elbows with the world's best, and they're certainly prime examples of that on and off the course.
Absolutely. Scott, what's your impression of old Greenwood after playing 18 holes and walking yesterday? Yeah, you were a stud. I was impressed.
Well, you know, first of all, whenever I can walk, I always prefer to walk a golf course. That's always my thing. And so when we were told it was cart path only, secretly, I was a little excited about it because I knew that meant I could take my push cart out and I could just justify, well, I'm going to walk it since you can't take your cart out there anyway. So it was a real pleasure to be able to do that. And Travis, you know, one of the things we were talking about a little bit before, but, you know, most people get the impression since it's mountain golf, it would be a tough climb and a really tough course to walk. But honestly, it was really enjoyable. And I bet you have a percentage of people that prefer to walk the course up there.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. It's honestly, it's probably the best walk in town. I mean, in all of Tahoe, you know, you got a decent walk to get to the first tee. But honestly, once you're there, it's all right on top of each other. Very flat, extremely walkable in between green and tee. I can't say enough about the walk. I too am a walker. And I mean, it's one of the best. I mean, it's a pretty casual stroll, you know.
Yeah, really agreed. Cool. You know, walk us through the process because, you know, as we were heading out to the course, we were told, quote unquote, that the rough was sticky. Now, it definitely is sticky plus some. You're getting it into tournament conditions. And by all accounts, everybody who's familiar with that course says this course right now is in the best condition it's been in at least 5 years and probably more. And that is a great testament to what everybody's doing. But give us the process of getting a tournament ready for a PGA event, how much the PGA is involved in setting up the course and what the course is like now versus what it might be for a quote unquote standard round of golf up there.
For sure. So, you know, I think just touching on, you know, the course being in the best, you know, condition in the last 5 years, you know, I'd almost say probably a decade. And to some extent, all the golf courses in Lake Tahoe it was a perfect winter. And a lot of our course conditions is, you know, our climate up here, we're 5-ish months golf, you know, a strong ski season. So a lot of that kind of course conditions coming out of spring is really pertinent on how your winter was and especially how your spring winter was. This year was a perfect storm. We had a lot of snow early and every golf course came out just about as good as ever. The tournament this year, the date we host has fluctuated a lot over the last 2 years, this year being our third, and this year being our earliest. So a perfect storm again that, you know, we're hosting earlier, but the course is in the best shape it's been. A lot of that was based on the Olympics and how that dictated the PGA Tour schedule. But this year we back up against the British Open and it's going to be really fun. We're going to get a lot more coverage on Golf Channel and things like that. But as far as course conditions, I mean, with the tour, it starts, you know, it's a year-round process. You know, they're having site visits even during the wintertime. We're, you know, snow blowing greens and checking core temps and all that kind of stuff year-round. So it's very intensive. They have the PGA Tour has an agronomist that works directly with our agronomy team in order to you know, guarantee the best conditions possible. I think, you know, another thing, just a kudo to us is, you know, that they had our first site visit ever when we were considering hosting the event and the agronomist came out and Thomas rides the course with Jason and, you know, Thomas is kind of like shrugs his shoulders like, hey man, we could host the tournament tomorrow. You know, like we're in really good shape. And that was pre us even hosting. It wasn't like we had, you know, done anything special for his arrival. That was just day-to-day play. So, you know, 3 years ago or, you know, let's call it 4 years ago, that had happened. And since then we've dialed some things in. We've, you know, bunkers is probably our sorest subject up here. And we've done a lot of work on them this last year and it's looking really solid. You know, POA contamination is something else that, you know, we've worked on and all those variables are looking better than ever this year. And to hit on the stickiness, the rough is very sticky. You know, we're bluegrass kind of everywhere except for tee boxes. The tee boxes are bent and the greens are creeping bent. But man, that stuff is thick right now. I feel for you guys being out there and getting off target a little bit because it can get nasty quick. I mean, our rough plays about 3 inches for the tournament, and you know, 3 inches doesn't sound like a lot, but it's when it's as thick as it is, that ball just falls to the bottom of it, and it's hard to get your club through there. And you know, if you do get it out, kudos to you, but it's definitely punishment.
Yeah, you got to play from the fairways. There's no question about it. And just to you know, give you an account about the bunkers. I mean, I think on a few holes, I mean, there were literally people working in the bunkers as we were playing. And on one of the holes, I believe it was five, Gary Gerald hit this terrific hybrid. And I was afraid for the people in the bunker. It whizzed right by them onto the green from about 10 feet out. And we were letting them know it was coming, but they weren't even phased at all. They were so content to just trying to get their job so concentrated on it. But anyways, that was great. And, you know, one thing about this tournament that's so much fun for us here locally is that there's usually a qualifier in the event. You know, Tom Morton's qualified from this event from Hagen Oaks, of course. We were great friends with Tom. Derek Zachman, the head pro out at Timber Creek, qualified for the tournament last year. And in that Northern California flair really gives us an extra dimension for us here locally.
Yeah, I mean, and to boot that, the NorCal professionals, you actually get the match play champion who gets a bid to play in the
Barracuda. Exactly. And that's how Tom and Derek qualified for it. Yeah.
So Tom coming up for Olympic, you know, he has some PGA Tour background, but it's, you know, I played with Tom a few times and man, he's got a great game and I could see him making the cut very easily. And I'm certainly rooting for him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are talking with Travis Alley, director of golf for Tahoe Martin Properties, which includes Old Greenwood, Gray's Crossing, and of course the Golf Academy at Old Greenwood. I'm having such a good time. I think we're going to take a little break. We'll have a couple of messages. Let's come back and talk about Gray's Crossing. How about that?
Sounds good.
Back right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
We are back here at the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa along with Scott Marsh, and very excited to have Travis Alley with us. He's Travis Alley, PGA Director of Golf for Tahoe Mountain Properties. And we've been talking about Old Greenwood and about the Barracuda Championship coming there and about our round yesterday, which was absolutely nothing like the Staberwood system that these professionals will play. But we had just as much fun as they will. Travis, again, congratulations on you know, the conditioning of your course, of your staff. I mean, everybody smiles everywhere, you know, having lunch there on the deck, overlooking the golf course. It's such a serene setting and a great place to be. And again, we appreciate the hospitality.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words and certainly our pleasure always having you up. Thanks for coming.
You also have a golf course on the other side of the highway called Gray's Crossing. And, you know, it's another golf course that kind of runs through the meadows and all of a sudden, boom, you get these elevation changes and some holes. You go, where did that come from? Who designed Gray's Crossing and how did that all come about? And what would you say the main differences are between the two golf courses?
Yeah, Frank, great question. So Gray's Crossing came on the market in 2007. Old Greenwood was 2004. Peter Jacobson and Jim Hardy, designers. And the kind of the design philosophy was basically, you know, Old Greenwood's a Nicklaus, and it's very true to that. You know, it's big bunkers. It's a lot of undulation on the greens, kind of the style behind somebody who hits the ball left to right. The Gray's Crossing and Peter Jacobson, their design is literally the exact opposite. You know, it's a very classic design. You would kind of think it's more turn of the century versus a you know, 2007 design, in a sense of, you know, there's kind of a members bounce every hole, very, very playable around the greens, nothing too tricked up. Greens, they're, you know, I wouldn't say they're small, but they're flat and they're gettable. You know, like there's 20, 30 foot putts out there you feel are very makeable versus Old Greenwood. You know, if you have 23 feet, chances are you're going over a major slope of some type. Another contrast between the two courses is, you know, Old Greenwood being a Nicklaus again is generally pretty open off the tee. You can, you know, really advance the ball and not worry about losing one off the tee, but Gray's Crossing a little tighter off the tee. You know, it kind of more sets you up strategically to say, hey, you know, I'm not just going to bomb drivers everywhere. I'm going to maybe hit a 2-iron here. I'm going to, you know, lay a 3-wood out there, whatever it is. And, you know, kind of play the golf course more as that's designed versus being a bomber's paradise. So, really fun to play them both. We do a 2-course package for playing Old Greenwood and Gray's Crossing. And, you know, it's funny if you ask 10 people which course they like better, it's kind of 5 and 5. You know, it's not always just a direct Old Greenwood. A lot of guys actually prefer Gray's Crossing.
You know, having played Old Greenwood first, it certainly was my favorite. And I was always surprised when people would say, oh, I like Gray's Crossing better. But as you say, you know, it just kind of fits a style, I guess.
Yeah, great golf course. And again, a little bit more classic, a little more member friendly. You know, and it's not tricked up. I mean, if you're hitting a good shot, you're rewarded. If you hit a bad shot, you're penalized. And it's that simplistic.
Yeah, I'm reminded when you mentioned Peter Jacobson, I'd forgotten that he was part of that team. But there also was a great event up at Old Greenwood one day when he and Annika Sorenstam did an exhibition. And you had them mic'd up. And I guess it must have been like a standard bearer walking around with speakers. But to hear them talk as they played the golf course and why they hit some of the shots that they were doing, that was a really fun day.
Totally. And don't forget Signboy, the old Fortuna comedian. He was in attendance as well. So a pretty fun group of those guys. And that was actually an inaugural round at Gray's. So certainly something to remember. We got some great photos at Gray's Crossing that day, and certainly one I won't forget.
Yeah. So you mentioned you have a 2-for-1 package, or, you know, play two for a reduced rate or something like that. Is that what you said?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have time to play two rounds, we give you a pretty nice discount for playing both. You just have to play both courses within a week. Deeper discounts for NCGA members. So if you're a Northern California resident, give us a call and we'll get you going for both the two course package.
You know, before we teed it up yesterday, Scott was kind of held up. He was a little late, but Gary and I went down to the golf academy there at Old Greenwood and kind of said hi to Keith Lyford, who's a nationally recognized instructor, who you guys have up there during the summer. That's another remarkable, but that facility, you've got what, three bays that are indoor outdoor bays, with videotape and the tracer units and everything that goes along with it. But everywhere you look, there were juniors out there yesterday. There really was a lot going on. I mean, it really felt like what a golf course should be, especially during the summertime when the kids are available.
Yeah, absolutely, Frank. You know, we have kind of programs all over the map, you know, from juniors to introductory to all the way up to tour pros. And I can't say enough about the facilities down there. Like you mentioned, you know, it's all state of the art. You know, we have flight scopes and, you know, all the hitting bays, all your training aids, all that kind of stuff. You know, add to that top 100 instruction from Keith Lyford. I mean, he's been on that list for two decades. I mean, he's phenomenal. I mean, Keith's dad was a NASA rocket scientist, to kind of give you a little background on him. And the apple certainly doesn't fall far from the tree. The guy is, we call him the professor, and he certainly lives up to the name. You know, Keith's great with teaching and everything down there. And, you know, the junior programs have grown immensely. You know, we started off with a handful of kids, and now we're looking at hundreds of kids a summer. And, you know, as this whole COVID thing has happened, you know, it brought so many people to the game. You know, we're doing a ton with kind of welcoming, you know, newcomers, you know, we haven't seen, and, you know, same thing, we haven't seen them in a decade. So it's been a really fun time to be in golf instruction in the golf industry.
I had seen that facility a number of years ago, so it's been a long time since I was there. But what struck me as I walked through the door was how open it is. And by that, I guess I mean how wide the hitting bays were, how high the ceilings were. You certainly can't feel as though you're outside if you're inside. But boy, I mean, it's so close to it. And, you know, those bays open up into that fabulous driving range that you've got. And it's top notch.
Yeah, the practice facility proper is 15 acres of green grass, which is
wow,
pretty sizable. The Golf Academy proper, which features three short game greens and one large putting green. I mean, you could hit anything there, probably up to a 50-yard putt. But 5 acres of concentrated short game area, you can literally hit any shot you want inside 100 yards. It's no reason that, you know, the Annikas of the world practice down there frequently. It's a pretty special place.
So let's move back across the freeway and get back to this Barracuda Championship. So for people that have never been to Old Greenwood and, you know, want to come up and maybe see the tournament, what would you suggest? How should they go about it in terms of, you know, do you start at one and follow someone? Do you kind of set yourself down at a spot somewhere, and where are the best vantage points and things like that?
I mean, I think the opportunities are endless. I mean, I think if you haven't been to Old Greenwood before, you owe it to yourself just to walk around the whole property. You know, I think you should walk all 18 holes, and, you know, I would pick somebody you like, and maybe you jump around a little bit, but you should see all the 18 holes, you know. Have you been to Old Greenwood before and you're really looking to, you know, see more tour player focused versus course focused? I always tell people the best place to view a tour event is on the driving range. you know, go to the range, you can actually see, you know, all these guys lining up. So we do, there's kind of a split tee start for these guys. So you have a big wave in the morning and then another big wave in the afternoon. But get down there early and, you know, you got 50 guys hitting side by side by side and you can watch, you know, everybody's swing. You can watch what they're working on. You know, did they hit it high? Did they hit it low? Or did they draw the ball? Did they fade the ball? And just seeing like how explosive some of these guys hit the ball, there's the most bang for your buck is on the range, which I think a lot of people find funny. You know, you wouldn't go to an NFL game and say, hey, I want to see warmups, you know, but the PGA Tour, it's hard to see everything at once. You know, you can, again, you can get a lot of bang for your buck on the range. So let's take it a step further. So say you've been to Old Greenwood, you've seen the course and you want to find a cool spot to watch them play the course. My recommendation would be to go up behind six green. So six greens is a reachable par five. So very risk reward. You're going to see a lot of guys take it on in two, try to hit it across the pond. So there's a lot of excitement there. A lot of concessions and kind of a cool stadium vibe there. And then from that same exact area, you can see the approach shot on seven, which is a par three over water, which will be really fun to watch. And then if you position yourself appropriately, you can even see the tee shot on number eight, which is a drivable par four. The guys are going to be splitting the right side tree there. So that's a really cool shot. And then lastly, from that same exact position, you can turn around and look behind you and see the putt on 11. So you can see a really cool approach. You can see a really good approach on seven over the water. And then you can see a drive on eight, all from the same spot. So if you're looking to post up for, you know, 6-7 hours, that's where I'd tell you to go.
The other thing that you didn't mention, but I know you'd be thinking about it is the sound on the driving range. You know, to listen to the contact that the tour pros make, it's a whole lot different than what we make amateur players.
I was going to say, Frank, it sounds probably really similar to you hitting the ball, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I think the first time I went to a tour event, let's call it the Greater Cannon Open, probably circa mid-90s. Davis Love was out hitting balls in the range. And I mean, I sound like a gunshot when he was hitting drivers. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, you know, Kevin.
Yeah, and you got to keep into account too with the being up in the mountains, you're getting an extra 7 to 10% distance wise to begin with off the top of it.
Yeah, and to take that a step further, it's a very interesting thing with the, you know, we said at 5883 as far as our elevations, so just shy of 6,000 feet. And, you know, practice rounds and things, you see almost every single player hit balls in TrackMan. You know, most guys travel with some form of launch monitor. And it's funny to see the data, you know, over the course of the week. A lot of guys will, you know, we tee off, you know, on Thursday, first tee balls in the air at 6:50 in the morning. So, you know, obviously Truckee, one of the coldest places in the country, a lot of times you're only seeing like 3 or 4% at that hour. But as the day goes on and it starts to warm up, you can see upwards of 12% increase in yardage, you know, by 2-3 in the afternoon. And, you know, and a lot of these tour guys will travel even with, you know, like an algorithm of time and where they are on the golf course in order to how much percentage increase they're going to play.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. And it's, I mean, to some extent it's scientific, you know, and yeah. I was blown away by that year one.
Well, you've got elevation, you've got the Stableford kind of scoring, which promotes let's see if we can go for it kind of play. And you've got a beautiful backdrop. What more could you ask for the Barracuda Championship, July 14 to 17. Are those the dates, Travis?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Come on up. Love to have you.
Hey, thank you again so much for being with us. Thanks for your hospitality. Travis Alley is the director of golf for Tahoe Mountain Properties. Again, that's Old Greenwood, Gray's Crossing, and the Golf Academy at Old Greenwood. What a fabulous place to be. And, you know, and congratulations. You know, when you consider that you've got a golf course that you can play, I don't know, 6 months of the year, maybe, and to, as we talked about earlier, get it out of the snow conditions and get it ready to play and have it be in such pristine condition as it is, you know, job well done to your entire staff.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much, Frank.
Thanks much for being on the show. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, Sactown Sports 1140. We will be back with more right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Welcome back into the Golf to Go Hour. We turn our attention now to Tahoe and the big tournament going on at the American Century Championship, July 6th through the 10th. We're looking forward to that great event. There was a press conference earlier in the week. Derek Carr, who is playing in the tournament along with John Smoltz, who's one of the favorites to win it, alongside Mike Vrabel, NFL head coach, all attending this press conference and talking not just about the tournament, but obviously things going on in their sports world as well. We wanted to bring you some excerpts from it, get you ready for the big tournament again. It's July 6th through the 10th up at Edgewood. You know, it'll be a place to be on the lake, especially hole 17 on Saturday. That is always a ton of fun. So here are some excerpts from the press conference earlier this week.
Hey, fellas, thanks for doing this, taking so much time today. I'd like to ask them, all three of you, we'll start with Mike and then Derek and then John. In your sport, sometimes athletic ability can just take over. You know, you can just throw it faster than the other guy can handle it. You can, you know, throw it to Darren Waller and he'll run over somebody. In golf, you can't just let athletic ability take over. So for you, is that something that's appealing part of the game, or is that more of a frustrating part of the game where sometimes it doesn't matter how hard you swing, sometimes if your mechanics aren't right, something's not going to go well for you?
Yeah, I learned early on I was a better caddy. I caddied at Portage Country Club in Akron, Ohio when I was in ninth, 10th, and 11th grade before I went to Ohio State. And I realized I was a better caddy than a player because guts and hustle don't get you too far in golf. The harder you try, the worse you do. So that's probably part of my roadblock there.
Derek?
Yeah, I think for me, at first it's frustrating, and as you start to get a little bit better and a little bit more consistent and those misses start to get closer, when you do hit one off the hosel, it's a little more aggravating, you know, and that's for sure. But I think one thing for me, like I said before, it's been something that I can do with my children. It's been something that I can really get away from. I'm still competing. It's more of a discipline to me. I really like the mental side of it. Like I said, in football, I love the mental side of the football game. I love the mental side of the golf game. You know, the consistency that you try and create in your swing. Again, like, you'll be cutting a ball all day and then all of a sudden one will go left and you're like, I have no clue why that happened. But it's all about the next shot. And, you know, just like in football, you know, you throw a pick, well, game's not over. You got to go back out there and you still got to lead your team and win the football game. And, I think for me, there's a lot of similarities, to get you ready mentally for sure. You know, from that aspect of not getting too high or too low and just continuing to trust the process and have fun with it.
John.
Yeah, for me, a lot of athleticism in different sports has different and varying ways that you can use aggression and frustration and anger. It's not for everybody, but golf is about as patient as it gets. And I've struggled with that. You know, as a pitcher, I got to throw the ball when I wanted to and start the action. Golf is more about waiting and getting in the moment and dealing with tension. And any kind of tension creates, you know, anxiety. And you know, you get frustrated in other sports, you can take it out. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But trying to hit it harder or getting frustrated or being angrier doesn't work in golf. It really is a thinking man's game, along with controlling your kind of emotions. You know, you can get some bad breaks, you can have some things happen, and you got to imagine that it's just no big thing. And it's taken me a long time to learn that, because I prefer to play fast, which is not really indicative of golf in tournaments. And that has got me trying to learn a whole new part of it.
Thanks, fellas. Good luck to all of you this weekend.
We've got a...
Hi there, guys. Thank you so much for doing this morning. John, a question for you and then a question for Derek. First to John, I've been out with Greg Maddux a few times golfing here in town, and he talks in such favorable terms about that pitching staff that you guys were on in Atlanta, and how golf brought you guys together as a team, you know, and how much fun you guys had, a great time with the golf course. I'm guessing he was the guy leading the way with that, wasn't he?
No, not even close. No, I had to teach him how he could have, you know, he was such an elite pitcher, obviously one of the best of our generations. And I was the golf concierge. I set it up. I got to rent a car. I got the tee times. I met the members. It was an outlet for us. You know, we played a position that allowed us once every 5 days to kind of try to perfect our profession in pitching. But then we had a lot of downtime, and that can eat you up. You can go one of two ways with that. You can have a much shorter career. Baseball is a long season. I know football is probably the most brutal season as far as beating your body up, but 162 games – you know, and just the time you have to have an outlet. And we chose golf. I chose golf, and I brought the personalities that we all had with the four of the starters. We had a blast. It extended our career. And probably the one thing that Greg told me is that, you know, I taught him how to have fun in the midst of what our career and what we're judged on in a game of failure. So golf never got so serious where we're out there. It never affected us away from the field. Golf was an outlet. It was peace, and it kept our minds and bodies fresh. And that's how I loved what golf did for us.
All right. And to Derek, training camp, how that went, mini camp, how it went for you guys just overall, and what you're looking forward to getting set for a training camp right around the corner.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. I think it went great. But we still have a lot of work to do. We're both, you know, on Max's side, on my side, we're all learning new systems. You know, in the special teams kicking game, it's a new culture, it's a new way of doing things. So we got a lot of way to go. I mean, we got a lot of talent. I've been on some really talented teams that didn't do much. And so, you know, just the leadership part of it, just making sure that the work is being put in. Before this, I was up early throwing with, you know, Tay this morning, you know, and we're working on our craft and we're working on getting better and, you know, the timing and the chemistry. And we're, you know, because Coach Vrabel's got some defenses that we're going to have to deal with, you know, and we got some stuff that we're going to have to, you know, prepare for. As much as I play golf and as much as I have fun, I spend a lot more time studying my playbook and, you know, getting ready for the real season for me until really my football career is done. And so we got ways to go, and our division's tough. It's going to be fun. No one thinks anything of us, and I think that's what makes it fun is you always have to put the ball down and play the football games.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the time today. I'm Graham Romina from Bleacher Report. And going into an event like this, you mentioned earlier, obviously doing your best and preparing the best way you can. Any other friends in the tournament that you're saying to yourself, as long as I do my best, this is great. But if I can beat out this person specifically, kind of playing fully, you know, playing against them and whatnot, anyone like that in this tournament that you might be playing against, kind of hoping you do better than compared to last year? And also any favorite golf movies as well you might be looking to for inspiration, like a Happy Gilmore or a Caddyshack or anything along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Caddyshack fan, that's for sure. I grew up watching that with my dad and my brothers. But I always want to beat the quarterbacks, you know. Want to beat my brother, obviously. You know, that's a given. You know, gotta make sure we keep that one, keep that title. There's a separate trophy. You know, there's one for everybody, and then there's one for me and my brother. So hopefully to take that one from him and hold that over his head for sure. But he's been grinding. I do know that he's been grinding. So you always want to, whatever you do, you want to go in, you want to try and win. You know, but for me, I'm always trying to get up as high as I can. I'm working on my game all the time. I think that's been the fun part. I watch guys like Smoltz and, you know, Vinny Del Negro and these guys, Marty, and these guys hit the ball and you're like, wow, like it's so fun because you know the work and the time they've put into it. And you're like, man, I want to do that too, you know, someday. So keep working at it and try and get as good as these guys at some point.
Fantastic. And John, same for you as well. Anyone you're kind of playfully playing against in the tournament that you obviously doing as best that you can last year, but anyone you kind of be competitively playing against compared to last year as well, and any favorite golf movies you're looking to for inspiration?
Yeah. Golf movie, Caddyshack's up there, Happy Gilmore. You know, I want to beat everybody. I don't make bones about it, but I think that to narrow the scope, when I had the pleasure of playing with Annika and Tiger back in the heyday where they're both number one, and it is an absolute treat to watch her hit a golf ball. And besides my former teammates, you know, Brian McCann, Tom Glavin, I mean, I obviously want to be the top Braves. I don't want them to clip. I mean, I'm 55 and it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen soon. But I'd say, you know, Annika is such, I love playing with her and I've learned so much playing with her. I obviously want to beat her, but it doesn't work out real well because she's that good.
Fantastic. Thanks for the time, guys. I appreciate it.
Derek, this is Q Myers, Raider Nation Radio 920 here in Las Vegas. You have a new running buddy in town, obviously, in Devontae Adams. I know he's working out there golfing with you as well. Are you sharpening his game? Is he sharpening your game in order to try to beat Hunter Renfrow, which he said is a high priority? And then the follow-up, every year you tell us that there's something else that you're working on, in your game you want to focus in on and kind of get a little bit better. I know training camp, you don't report till the 20th, but is there something that you already have in mind you're working on? And thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Q. Good to see you. I think, like I said, me and Tay spend a lot of time together. Hunter and I play a lot of golf. It's really cool to hear, John Smoltz talk about how the guys, that was our outlet, those things that we did together. That's, team unity, bonding, So when the other guy's pitching, you got his back no matter what, that kind of stuff. And for us, it's like, Hunter, myself, Devontae, all of us, we play golf, Foster, we're out there and we're playing. And so when you build this chemistry, so when, Tay goes off for 100 or Hunter goes off for 100, like they're the first ones celebrating. You ever watch our games, Hunter scores, Darren Waller is the first one with his arms in the air. You create this unity, you create this bond. And it's something that golf has done for us, I'm literally, we threw this morning, we're working out together, and then we're going to go play golf right after this. He's literally texting me as we're sitting here, it's been really cool to have a game that we both love. And he pushes me, I push him to be better. And, he says it's good to play golf with me because he doesn't say as many certain words he usually does. And so it's been good. But we enjoy ourselves, man. We have such a fun time. Like if anything, obviously we're all competitive at this level. You got to be competitive to make it. And we all want to beat each other. But I think the coolest part for me is watching our team come together through just a different game, just through a different discipline, and things like that, creating chemistry and bonds. And so that's been fun. And we are working on some stuff, but one thing I've learned with this staff is we're not saying much. And so, we are working on some stuff, and me, Q, I try and share as much as I can to help you guys out and all that kind of stuff. But we're working on some things, but we got a lot of work to do to be able to compete in our division. You get frustrated when you see, other people's names on things and this and that, and you're like, well, we're here too. We feel like we got better too. And I thought we made the playoffs. And so hopefully it doesn't guarantee anything this year, but it does guarantee that we have some good guys. And so, we got a chip on our shoulder, like always. And as Raiders, I think that's how we should have it. And, we're excited to compete against the best. My buddy Khalil joined the Chargers, the Broncos got better, the Chiefs got better. And you're looking around, you're like, man, it's going to be a lot of fun playing these teams and against the best, some of the best quarterbacks in the game. And it's what you look forward to. It's what you want to sign up for.
Hey, how you guys doing? So I have a question for both of you. You guys mentioned, who you want to maybe beat in the tournament, competitiveness, obviously. So as you know, the Currys have a bet where whoever is the loser for the day has to jump into the lake. Is that something you guys would be interested in with maybe Derek, for you quarterbacks, maybe your brother, John, maybe for you, some former teammates? Would you guys be willing to do that as a side bet for the tournament?
Look, if I hit a hole in one on 17, I will freely jump in the lake with no competition or wager whatsoever. And so that's a quick way for me to just go in for free. But me and my brother, we definitely have side bets and things like that. There's no doubt about that. But jumping in the lake, I'm gonna be in the lake regardless, but I'd rather go put my board shorts on to do it.
I will definitely jump in the lake if my my former catcher Brian McCann beats me, and he is coming strong. We play all the time here in Atlanta, and he's already beat me on a couple, individual rounds. And so he's definitely, this is the same guy that I took a picture with in my locker room when he was 9 years old, and then I threw to him in his major league debut. So think about how odd that is, and full circle. So I know it's coming, but I'll be willing to jump in the lake if he beats me.
That's going to do it for another edition of the Golf to Go show. We appreciate you listening. Frank and I will be back with you next week as we continue to cover golf here in Northern California, right here on Sacktown Sports 1140.